All right, Aaron, fans, let's open up the Loma Lounge once again. Let's get this light on.
Was all this sand here before?
I don't know if it was part of the construction that we had. I don't know. Was this here the last time? Or is it like, I don't know, there's some big worm that's like in the back too in the kitchen. We can't even get the cooks back there now. Gotta call an exterminator.
Remember some sand. I remember some worm, but this seems like excess of sand, and I don't think the worms were that big when we were here last time.
No, and also, too, like, I'm wondering, like, the sand isn't the sand that makes you old now, it's just regular sand, so, like, that's good, I guess, but it's got some weird, like, hallucinogen in it? I don't know, I've been feeling weird ever since the sand got here.
To be fair, could account for the giant worm.
Hmm.
They are both seeing it, so... I guess while we're here on the topic of sand, it makes sense that we would talk about the big new movie that came out.
Denis Villeneuve.
Oh boy. I had no chance.
Denis
Villeneuve?
Yep.
Okay. Villeneuve's...
And for anybody that's wondering, how did Jimmy just know that? Because I was on What the Film Core podcast, also talking about Dune. Our friends over at What the Film Core were nice enough to invite me back again to talk about Dune. And we spent like 20 minutes trying to figure out what that guy's name was.
So this is kind of a recap for you. This is like a double dipper episode for you.
Double dipper.
In Dune twice.
I've never talked about something twice on a podcast. They're like different podcasts. This is different. But it's cool.
Let alone something that you had no barometer for before this, and neither did
no.
I. Like neither of us, anticipated liking this movie.
Well, I mean, yeah. If you want to give it away, it's crazy, man. Because we sat here when we were talking off record. You were like, you know, this film's 2.5 hours long, and I about like stared into your soul. I was like, are you kidding me? And then
you went to the movies, yeah, you went to the theaters to see it.
Yeah, I went to the theaters and it was fun because I went with BT. It was a good time. Shout out to BT for going and seeing the movie with me. But man, I loved it, man. I loved this movie. I thought it was great. And I was shocked because when I went on What the Film Corp podcast, Badger hated it. And I was not expecting that. Yeah. So there was like a little back and forth there, which was good. It was, you know, but
is he a Dune fan previous?
No, nope.
I do want to hear more about his thoughts. So, okay, give me his, just a quick like summation of his complaints.
Yeah. If you guys want to listen to the whole thing, go over to What the Film Core, okay, I'm on, and you can listen to, it's like the first 10 minutes of it. But basically he just said like, it was boring. There was no story and they didn't explain like what was going on as far as like what was happening in this universe. But that was his biggest thing.
And so I think I'm just on the complete opposite end of that. And so like you said, we were both, I think, I don't know about you. For me, the big thing was that I was weary. Like everything now is like Marvel, Star Wars, this big IP stuff. Yep. So that was my biggest hangup, was like another one of these things. And especially because I went to go see Venom in theaters a couple weeks ago. And the trailer for this, and the movie looked okay. I don't have any previous knowledge of Dune. Books, movie,
anything. Me either. I didn't even really know it existed until this came out, to be honest with you.
The trailer had a pull quote from someone that said, the next Star Wars is here. The next Lord of the Rings is here. And that's like made me like roll my eyes. I was like, I am gonna not like this.
Yeah, it's crazy that they would say that.
Shocked. Absolutely shocked at not only, I mean, I just at how good of a film this is, how much I enjoyed it. Maybe shouldn't be that surprised because Denis Villeneuve's work before this, I do really enjoy. I really enjoy Arrival, and I really enjoy Blade Runner 2049. He's very good at bringing these worlds to life and making them feel really real. like, I think a good comparison is Star Wars, because we both know Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I think we both enjoy Star Wars. When you watch a movie like this and you compare it to, like, the newer Star Wars trilogy that came out over the past whatever.
Yeah.
A trilogy that I enjoyed, even though it has its problems. Those feel a lot more, like, funny, or not funny is the right word, but almost, like, kind of childish and, like, cartoony compared to this. This feels just, like, as realistic as a science fiction movie can, I think.
Dude, this scratched so many itches for me, dude. It was like, and I know this is like big praise, and judging off of certain people's reaction, I know that people are going to either like agree with me or disagree with me, but that's fine. Is it honestly felt like how I would imagine watching Star Wars in theaters for the first time would be? Like, you know, like back then, just watching Star Wars for the first time, not knowing anything about it, sitting down, watching it on the big screen. I left that theater and I was like, I just watched something that's going to stand the test of time for a while. And feel free to use this clip if the second part of this is bad, like go ahead and use it. But man, it just felt as like somebody who grew up in like the science fiction world, because my dad was like very into sci-fi, and you know, my dad and I watched all the Star Wars movies together. I grew up watching Star Trek and Stargate and, you know, just basically always having it on the sci-fi channel and watching those shows like Quantum Leap and all sorts of stuff like that. I really love sci-fi, man. And this, as an adult, now I'm like, oh my God, it was so good.
This feels like me. I would agree with what you said. The only difference being that Star Wars is like not based, doesn't have like source material. But this, me, felt like the way that, okay, so like if we didn't know that Marvel or Star Wars or whoever was putting out 14 movies this year, mm-hmm. like because they put out that list where they're like, here's everything you're gonna get in 2023, you didn't know that any of that was happening, and they just gave you one movie every like 4 years, and they really, not that those movies are, we've talked about this a lot, people are going to be mad, whatever. Like, I'm not saying those movies are bad, but when you watch a movie like this, it's like a film. It is both like an adventure sci-fi blockbuster, but it's also like a really good film. You're like, man, what would those movies look like? Even Star Wars, which I love. What would those movies look like if they actually took their time and didn't bend to the expectation that they have to have this movie out year after year after year? They had a vision and they took their time with it and they cared about crafting a good movie. This is what that felt like.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you on the last like trilogy there. Like it was, even though I did enjoy it, it was like, seemed like it was hastily made.
It was disjointed.
Mm-hmm.
Because I personally like The Last Jedi the most out of the three. That's like a controversial movie. But they gave it after it did so questionable with fans, they handed it back to J.J. Abrams for The Rise of Skywalker, and I think that's where most problems are, is that trilogy feels like it was started by one guy, continued by another guy, and then finished by the first guy, who went back to the way the first movie was, so you just have this random appendage in the middle that doesn't feel like any of the other movies. This felt like it was a singular vision. It felt like a obviously, their source material. People have been waiting for, like, this. I think what I've gathered, as not a Dune guy, is that there are a lot of Dune guys out there. There are people that really love
Dune. I didn't realize that. It's crazy. As big of a sci-fi guy as I claim to be, like, growing up, I had no idea about Dune, man. I had no idea. Never read the book. Never. And that seems like something that would have been right in my wheelhouse, even though after listening to BT talk, he said it's 900 pages. Like, the first book is 900 pages. And I'm like, maybe not these days, but...
There are people that have been waiting on this for a long time. Because David Lynch made an adaptation in 1980 that I have not seen. I think what I've gathered is that it's not very good, but that there's kind of a cult status around it now that it's a fun movie. It just might not be, like, a very good one or a good adaptation. This feels, from what I've gathered from fans, a lot closer to the actual book. There's a bunch of stuff to talk about and to praise here. But one of the biggest things for me since our Halloween Kills episode, I'm kind of reassessing that movie and some of the things I don't like about it. A movie that I enjoyed watching, but that I don't think is very good in hindsight. And part of that is that that movie serves no individual purpose and can't really stand on its own legs. You can't just like watch that movie by itself without having context of what's around it. It's like an episode of television almost. Like it's always just leading up to what the next thing is. This, on the other hand, feels like that even if a part two didn't get greenlighted for whatever reason, and it definitely was going to, but for
whatever reason, it has already. It has. Yeah. So
let's pretend for a minute that it wasn't. This feels like a film that has the legs to stand on its own.
I agree.
That you would rewatch. You know, and that was our issue with Many Saints of Newark too.
Yeah.
This feels like something that you could revisit. And I think even how dense, you know, people talk about how dense these books are, obviously 900 pages of plot details and exposition, all the stuff. And how are you going to fit that into these movies? I really like about this film, the thing that impressed me more than anything at all is that they were able to use language and details about Dune that you can like not have any knowledge of. And aren't integral to the plot at hand.
Yeah.
Not like confusing to me. Like the story itself was relatively straightforward, I think. It just happened to have like these little details, and it feels very warm and inviting where they're kind of saying like, by the way, if you want to, you could learn more about the universe if you want to read the books or whatever. But also if you don't, you can follow this movie and understand what's happening. It feels like a warm invitation as opposed to being like rigid and being like, well, if you haven't read all 9 of our books, then you're never going to be able to figure out what's happening.
Yeah, you know? No, I think I want to do something different. We normally talk about what we liked and then we talk about what we didn't like about the film. But I think that since there's so much that we liked, let's get our dislikes out of the way first. Do you want to go?
Yeah, I would say and this is like with a movie this good, really showing my cards here. I honestly thought that this was maybe the best blockbuster I've seen in like 10 years.
We are on the exact same page with this, which is funny. This could have went either way. So I'm glad. Yeah. Me and you are like on the same high page. Praise.
The only thing that I would say, it's a long movie. I actually didn't think the length felt. It didn't kill me. Like it didn't feel long. It kept my attention. I would say that I would probably, if I was gonna kind of trim some fat, I think right kind of in between the second and third acts, not the end of the movie, not the tail end of the movie where they are, you know, he and his mom are looking for the Freeman, but right before that is probably where there's maybe a little bit of material that you could a little bit trim down a little bit and make it maybe a solid 215 or something like that. Otherwise, don't really have many complaints. I think, and I don't want to, you know, get into what my complaint would be. They didn't do it so well. Is just the sheer star power in this movie. How you have that many people and characters, and have them feel. You know, I think any other movie would feel distracting.
Yeah,
or like the characters don't. Enough growth or detail to them, knocked it out of the park. It was insane. It was like, how do you have Jason Momoa, Timothy Chalamet, Javier Bardem, Oscar Isaac, Zendaya, all of these people? How do you have all of these people in one movie and make them feel not only well thought out, but like that you can keep track of who is who?
Yep.
That would be my complaint if it was any other movie, but it wasn't. They nailed it.
Yeah. No, man, I agree. And I went in with very low expectations just because of like, I've talked about it a lot. I think that a lot of movies, like 95% of them, don't need to be over 2 hours long. And now we have our test, and I even put my phone where I was at on the, you know, the movie, it had like a TV tray on like the recliner thing for like popcorn and stuff. And I had my phone there so I could still do out of the test. I was like, if at any point in this film that I feel like, how much longer. I'm just going to pop, I'm going to hit it, and I'm going to look at the time, and that's it. And I didn't do that at all.
Crazy.
Because I was so invested in this movie. But, you know, a couple things that I think that, and like, they're small, because I really enjoyed this movie, and they're kind of comical, my like kind of dislikes. But in a world like this, and this is just from Frank Herbert, this isn't the movie, but it's like, in a world like this, you spend all this time building all of these different people, giving cool names to everyone, like the Harkonnen and, you know, House Atreides and the Furman and all this cool stuff. And your main character's name is Paul. You have,
dude, it's a mystical name.
You have Paul, Jessica, and Duncan Idaho.
It is so okay. You know what's funny about that is Dune falls into, I'm sure you've heard this, and I don't want to get too into it because Lord knows this is a can of worms. Dune falls into this what's called white savior movies. It's a common criticism where it's like this white guy shows up in this foreign land and suddenly like saves all these people. And I get it. I definitely get it. You know, it's not the kind of thing that I'm tuned into because I'm a white guy. And so to read that criticism, I was like, oh, I didn't even think about it like that. It's definitely relevant. Oh, you're okay. But it's funny, you know, whether you agree with that criticism or not, or I'm sure there's ways that you could kind of go against that. I think it's valid. But the fact that a white savior complex movie has characters named Paul and Duncan Idaho is so funny to me. It's like a parody of like whites. They're like, we take them to a mystical land so that Paul can save everyone.
I mean, like, yeah. Javier Bardem's character name is like Slithgar or something like that. And then you got like Paul, and then you got like Baron Harkonnen and stuff like that. And then my second dislike is, for the first 5 minutes of this movie, I was like, this movie sucks. And I was like, I hope it picks up. And it just because I was like, I get it. You guys had a big budget and you made really cool ships. But it was like every 3 minutes at the beginning, it was like, and then like big ship. And then it was like, and then like another big ship. And then there was another big ship. And I was like, how many of these ships are out there? And then it finally like went off and I started enjoying the movie, but I was like, I get it, you guys made ships, good for you.
Do you think the first 15 minutes of this are like, you have to watch at least the first half hour before you make up your mind?
Because
similarly, I paused it, not because I was like, oh, this sucks or I need more time, I just like paused it randomly to go get something or whatever. I was like 10 minutes in and I had this thought of like, oh, this movie's just gonna be like flying through space to sign contracts and like all of that exposition packed into that first 15 minutes. So it is kind of this like a little bit of a test. If you're skeptical and you watch that first 15 and turn it off, you would think the whole movie was just like, sign, you know, like just contracts and spaceships.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know about this movie, but after like 20, 25 to a half hour, I was like, okay, I'm here. But yeah, but the first 15 minutes is probably my biggest gripe for this whole film.
You did mention Javier Bardem, and I'm checking here to see if he's the character I thought he was. Was he the floating guy, Dylan?
No, he's so when Paul and his mom make it to the Furman, and they're all like on that hill, the main guy there that's like in charge of the Furman, that's Javier.
Okay, it was a Skarsgård who was the Baron then.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting fact about him. There's a documentary. There's a director, Alejandro Jodorowsky. I'm sure I butchered that as well. He makes a lot of very weird, surreal films. He was going to direct a Dune movie, and it never came into fruition. There's a documentary about it. What are you laughing at?
Just all the kids screaming.
Yeah. Sorry, folks. But Orson Welles was originally supposed to play the Baron in his film, and Orson Welles at the time, very large man, very stout, and he, it was the same thing where it's like his bottom half was, if I remember from the drawings, it was like a hovercraft essentially, and it was like Orson Welles' big old gut and body and upper half, and he's just kind of flying around in this little like hover scooter which is interesting to think about if things had gone that way. But do you think the Baron is, like, scary in this movie? Legitimately, the design of him is frightening. Like, this movie has so much going on. It is, like, an action-adventure sci-fi. And there are parts of it that, like, creep me out.
Almost, yeah, I wanted to talk about that, too, man. Is, like... So I'm excited to see like what this world brings us, because like the Baron showed that there's like a lot of horrors in this universe, and like the Harkonnens are one of them. Like they're shaved head, no eyebrows, and then he's just like floating like up high and can move around. So it's and then he's like bathing in oil at one point.
Yeah. The whatever brings him back to life, yeah. Kind of essentially. Because I don't know if he The way that I interpreted it was that he like died, but they had some kind of material that could resuscitate a person.
Or... And I know that's typical for like the really wealthy here in this country to bathe in oil to like make yourself feel better. But that's not something that like I am accustomed to. So maybe other people are like, oh no, that's a thing, Jimmy. And I'm like, oh okay, cool. But
a bunch of Q people are gonna jump on for the Dune episode.
They're
up there bathing in baby blood.
But I would say the scariest part of this film, and honestly, like no horror movie lately has made me feel odd this way. But when you first hear Jessica use that voice, it was terrifying. Like when she like slits that guy's throat and like starts getting out of that plane, it is terrifying to hear the way they did the sound for that. And the lady when Paul's getting put through the test. The like lady in charge when she like pulls him over, that there were some creepy moments of this film that I was not expecting. I like jumped when I first heard Jessica use that voice. I was like, whoa. I was like, hello.
I would say that's the other, going back to dislikes or things that would be dislikes, the scene where they are kidnapped, they start to talk about like, oh, I've never had a woman from that world or whatever, and they like basically talk about plans to assault her. I was like, I don't like this. I'm very uncomfortable. I don't like this. And it's the walking the line, and it's the perfect amount of time where it's like it makes you uncomfortable, and then pretty quickly they get out of the situation and you don't have to worry about that being a thing anymore. But at the time, that's the kind of thing where I was like, oh, this is like that kind of unnecessary. They're doing this to make people feel uncomfortable.
It worked. But it made me feel uncomfortable.
It worked and it wasn't in super poor taste. Like the tension is there just long enough where you're like, oh no, and then obviously it works out.
Did you have as much anxiety that I had throughout this film about like I just didn't want his mom to die? And like there was like some critical moments where I'm like, yep, this is it. Like she's gone. Paul's on his own. But like I really wanted her to make it the whole way through the film. And she did, spoiler, but I was just like through the whole thing, I'm so tense. I'm like, please don't die. Please don't die. Please don't die. Cause I just liked her character. I was like, please, please no.
Yeah. I would say, I was surprised that they killed off Oscar Isaac, his father. Again, this is obviously probably in the source material. So people who are familiar probably aren't surprised, but for me, and I get that, we're going to have flashbacks in part two. I'm sure that he's going to be involved and but it's another one of those things where it's like these other movies, Marvel or Star Wars, whatever, the stakes are feel very low a lot of the time because you know that, okay, Iron Man's gone, but is he really gone? He's going to be back in like two movies or whatever. Mm-hmm. And in this, I was like, oh, wow. Like Oscar Isaac, a major character in the movie, a major actor, they're going to kill his character off halfway into the first film.
I mean, they even killed off Jason Momoa, which I was surprised to see. Like that surprised me. I was like, no way he dies. Like he's such like a big name, but they weren't afraid. They weren't afraid to kill off their big name actors, which I was like, kudos to you.
Again, a sign of a good movie, a movie that's not concerned about not like thinking too much about the next thing. It's thinking about like what matters right now in this film, people are going to like remember that, The other thing that I was when we're talking about things we like and things we're impressed with, the other thing that I really liked was the fact that this wasn't super padded with action sequences, like for the sake of having action.
It yeah, felt well I agree with to you. Me. Yeah,
and because there was only, say, maybe three or four major action sequences. There's like the attack,
which were beautiful, by the way, which were beautifully done. That first, that like that attack between the Harkonnens and how like House Atreides, I was like, holy, like those bombs that were like that floated down. It was like, boom.
I think that that's the, it has more impact when you have just, you know, sorry,
I'll wait until you're, I don't know, it's just somebody yelling in the house. I don't know.
Your house?
Yeah.
You want to check on it?
No, quick? It's fine. Let's just go.
That is more effective than having a movie that's like, oh, you know, contractually, because we're making a big blockbuster, we have to have an action sequence every 10 pages, every 10 minutes, you know, there's got to be something to keep, or the audience is going to get bored. This movie, like, trusts its audience. It's like, we know we're telling a good story. We're gonna do whatever it takes. We're going to put the action where it needs to be. And because there is not so little of it, but because it's kind of condensed in these great pockets, is way more effective, and it looks awesome, and it feels not like filler. You know, it feels like it's supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. The sandworm, the pacing of having the sandworm show up and what they show you and when they show it to you.
Yeah.
Perfect. They know what the audience wants. It's like walking the line between giving somebody what they want and also telling the best story that they can tell, you know?
Bird's taking care of it, so we're good.
Any idea what's going on over there?
No, it's just Jesse yelling, I think. But Bird just ran down to be like, hey, he's recording, so we're good.
So, yeah, it's just, I can't stress enough the, do you need to just talk to somebody?
Is no, that... we're good. I was giving a thumbs up to Bird to say thank you.
I didn't know if you were, like, saying, like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Can't stress enough just how many directions I could see this movie going wrong if somebody else was behind the wheel.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it just feels like I could literally see in real time, because of the way we talk about movies now, I could see during an action sequence being like, oh, if they had done this, it would have not been as good. Mm-hmm. Or with the characters, like I said, my criticism would have been this. I could see in real time that another movie would not have killed off those characters because they're big star names, or... I can see all of the directions where it could have gone wrong, and it just didn't. And that's shocking and refreshing for a big movie like this.
I mean, it could have went... There were so many different routes where this movie could have just went wrong, but it didn't, though. So I know that, like, we're not big enough, but to have anybody from the crew actually reach out and say thank you. But awesome job to everybody involved with this film. Awesome job. Outstanding from top down... the casting, the effects, like everything, the directing, the cinematography, the acting, hands down, kudos. Probably 100%. I'm going to say it. This is a big one. My favorite movie that we've watched on After the Movie so far.
This is, I don't know if I'll say that. I'd have to go back through, because like, I don't think like Mandy is actually like on my list of like maybe top 20 movies. And I don't know that this would be on it yet, but I will say this is, I did not expect this to be my favorite movie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so far.
I think I'd have to sit down, but I think this might be in my top five movies of all time.
Wow. Before we, you know, wrap up or whatever, I just like really, I know I keep like harping on these things, but think about what it takes to sit down with this dense, very niche source material. You're like, here's a sci-fi novel about sand, magic sand, and big sandworms, and like it's a very niche audience. How do you sit down with that and say, I am gonna make a movie that people who don't even know what Dune is can watch and become a fan of this world?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Now,
yeah,
that
it's...
in itself is an accomplishment.
Yeah, and there's so many accomplishments throughout this film. I mean, I hope that, you know, I know that it's going to be a mix from our listeners, and I really would love to hear. So either leave a comment or let us know in like a review, like what you thought of it, or just let us know at Lomo Media on Twitter. It's probably the best way to reach out to both of us directly. But I really want to know what everybody's thoughts were on this film, because I do see how it could be so polarizing, like we've talked about in previous films. And I know that, like, and I've seen it, you know, it was just, as I said earlier on what the film, of course, I'm on such an opposite side of the spectrum here, and Badger was on the other. And I just want to know, is like, are there people in the middle, or is it just so like, you either love this film, it's the best movie of the year, or it's the worst film you've ever seen? Like, is it like either or? Are there people like in the middle that were like, eh, it's okay? Because even BT said he loved it, so he was on the side of us. So I really want to know like where everybody falls in this like love or hate for this film.
It's such a spectacle and such a big like event movie that it is funny and strange to think about somebody seeing it and coming out and being like, it was fine. You know, like it seems weird to think about somebody feeling that way. So yeah, if you feel that way, I'll put up a question on Spotify too. I recently found out that you can publish polls and questions. So I'll put up a question, and feel free to head over to our Spotify page when this comes out and let us know what you thought of the movie.
Yeah, but as far as like parting words, you know, I just want to do this a little bit earlier in the show than we normally do, but shout out to our Patreon members that have access to listening to our podcast earlier, listening, you get the video version of this, you get all our behind the scenes content, you get all of our blooper reels from all of our stuff, and trust me, there's a lot of bloopers coming up on our Patreon, so you're going to want to see that, so you can either join for $3 or $5 a month. That goes directly to us. Patreon is the best way because they only take a small percentage of your donation. So please, 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 if you can, we would definitely appreciate it.
We had a watch party for The Thing the other night. That was a lot of fun. Love to do more of those. So hop on, less than a cup of coffee a month, and you get all kinds of cool stuff. As far as next week goes, we're going to be talking about Dr. Strangelove and VHS 94. Two very different films. And I did want to quickly mention, are we good on time?
Yeah, we're good. Yeah.
Did want to quickly mention, you mentioned earlier Stargate. I love this movie so much that I was craving another.
Don't even tell me what you're about to tell me.
I watched Stargate, 1984 film with Kurt Russell.
I've been rewatching the series because of this film.
Okay. I've probably seen random episodes like when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I've not watched the series, but I watched the film, the Roland Emmerich film, and it is obviously not as good as Dune, but it is a ton of fun. I highly recommend it. It's on Netflix. It is just like, if you are craving another sci-fi adventure movie, it scratches the itch.
Do you want to do, and I don't know if this pertains to you, but it does for me a little bit, but do you want to do a special episode at one point and just call it the films of our fathers, where you pick the two films that you love that your dad introduced you to, and I'll pick two that my dad introduced me to, and we could talk about them?
We could definitely do that.
I think that'd be fun.
I can tell you right now, Smokey and the Bandit would probably be number one.
I can tell you that The Warriors would be number one for me, because my dad absolutely loved that film, and I watched it about six times with him growing up. So
Warriors,
come out and play.
Yeah, we'll have to cover that at some point. That's all I got, man. I would just watch Dune. It is in theaters and on HBO Max. I watched it on HBO Max. I would say that if you have the opportunity, definitely go see it in theaters. It feels like a theater movie. I have some sand in your clothes afterwards, but worth it. And speaking of sand in our clothes, we gotta do something about all this this glittering sand that's I feel like I'm breathing in asbestos here.
Yeah, but I mean, it, you know, as every episode, unfortunately, though, Aaron, we do have to close this bar down, figure out our sand issue. But, you know, as we're trying to shovel this sand out, we have a We have a wide range of characters trying to get into our bar at last call. So
yeah, I mean, I think we should just let them have the bar.
Yeah, I think it's open bar. I think it's open bar.
We don't have to worry about getting rid of the sand because they're used to it.
Yeah,
but, you know, they can just have it. So the bar is theirs now. We've abandoned the Lomo Lounge. Who knows where we'll be next week. We'll figure it out. We'll see. We'll find our way back out of this bit. But until then, watch Dune and the Patreon.
Watch our new short. I don't know. I've been calling it a short film, but I guess it is technically a short film. Open Window. It'll already be out by the time you listen to this. So head over to Lomo Media on YouTube to check it out. It's about 7 minutes of it's like a little spooky movie. Our first try at doing a short film, I guess. I mean, it's technically a short film, but
it's the only difference between it and an episode of the Lomo Show is that I think we don't play our characters. And it's a kind of our first attempt at something that's a little more serious.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of the idea of doing like a little spooky thing for Halloween. So, I have not seen it yet, but you should watch it. I hope, I'm going to recommend it in the next episode. I'm going to be like, hey, don't go watch it. But no, I'm sure Jimmy did. I had a lot of fun filming it. Jimmy had a blast filming it.
Oh my God.
Had a real good time at the end of the shoot there. I'm sure that he has done a wonderful job editing it, so definitely check that out.
All right, bud, let's close this bar down until we hop into VHS 94 next week.
All right,
so
we'll see you then. Get out of my bar.
Get out.